On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, we show you how to get real stone look using a product called Airstone. A listener needs some ideas on what to do with an old gas pump. Ever want to take a home souvenir from a funeral home? One listener did and needs some advice. Also, a roached out antique planter needs a revamp. What should we do? Plus, get ideas on what can be done to give an antique stove a whole new life. And is there use for an antique radio beyond the dial? We will talk about all that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Lots of buttons to be pressing. And adjusting volume so I can hear myself. And
yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, it's a learning experience every time I do this show, because this is the show that we do both video and we do audio at the same time. And a lot of times I can disguise my audio insanity of moving things around without being on camera.
And it's all out for everybody to see now.
And here it's us. This is not a show where we have producers in the background and we have this or that. It's us doing this show. and that's real. It's raw. It's how things are done these days. But it's one of those things where you grow up in media and getting into thinking, oh, someday when I'm doing something on camera on TV, or I mean the concept of doing something online didn't even exist, but this is about just as good, if not better. You're just like, oh, there'll be somebody pressing those buttons,
right?
And I can just sit back and relax.
Or I'm going to look so much cooler doing all that.
Oh yeah, well that's always the thought of. You know, I'm going to look very cool doing this or that, and you're just like, you're like the frantic, crazy person trying to manage 30 buttons. It very much reminds me actually of old school radio days, of back before we had automation, where you with radio automation. What I mean by that is over the years, essentially, it's if a computer just plays. It's like a giant playlist. It's like Spotify. It's like Pandora.
Sure.
And then it's just like, oh, here's the song that's coming up. Let's talk over the intro of it and press pause when we need to pause and then press play when we need to play the commercial.
Sure.
Simple, easy to quantify and understand for everybody. But before that crap, it was you need to have a stack of carts, which were your commercials. A stack of CDs, which were the music, and another stack of carts, which were the things you'd play between the CDs that said, Bulu, the best station, 100,000 watts of music power, craziness, boo-woo, and then boom, Backstreet Boys. You know, that's that's how that worked. But you had to have all these elements, and you had to press play on every single one of them and make it sound smooth and make it, you know, cohesive as a product. And that's kind of what this reminds me of.
But knowing you and knowing how your mind works, I think you thrived in that more than the sit back.
I did.
And watch the screen tell me what's coming up next.
You're exactly right. I got so lazy and I got so bored and just out of my mind of like, this sucks. And it's a learning experience to jump back to that, though, because you have to be so aware. Mm-hmm. And when you're 16, 17, you're kind of, especially, you know, like a 16, 17-year-old male, you're like, oh, girls, you know, it's,
you're all over the place anyway.
You're all over, and now at a 35-year-old level, it's kind of like, girls, music, everything slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And now to try and get back to that pace of being able to handle all the sensory perceptions around you like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of work.
You can do it.
I can do it. It's just, it takes a little bit of getting back up to speed on how to handle it. But it's crazy. I mean, I look back at some of that stuff. I listen to some old radio tapes and I go, oh my God, how the hell did I do that? Because I know how it was run.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a computer playing stuff down a list. It was boom, boom, boom. I'm going to press this over here, that over here, and right there. And just,
yeah.
And you had to know the timing. There was no computer counting down a clock telling you when the vocals were going to hit in a song. It was, you just had to know
every single song.
It was a lot of feeling. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I don't know even how it worked, some of it, honestly. I look back going, it was just kind of based on emotion sometimes, of like, you feel when it's, you know when it's going to happen. Anyway, that's all that.
Okay.
Here we are today. on the program, and we're talking about radio from 1994. So lots of neat stuff on today's episode. I'm excited about it. We're going to go back and talk about a really cool product that I have always been a big fan of, and that would be Airstone. Mm-hmm. This is something that, honestly, I was thinking of putting into our show a few more episodes in, because we have a fireplace project we're going to be jumping into.
Yes.
In a couple weeks, that will probably get on the show Christmas-ish time, mm-hmm. Around there, maybe even into the new year a little bit. And we initially were planning on using this product, Airstone, for it.
Right.
But then that all kind of changed.
Well, it changed because, for one, we've done it before.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something different for this house. And with Airstone, you get the stack stone look, which is not mortared in between the stones. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a particular look with the mortar this time. So I'm doing a different project, and it gives me an opportunity to try a different product, mm-hmm. for that project. But I have very fond memories of working with Airstone, and I wouldn't hesitate to use it again.
Yeah, it is a great product, and I've been a big fan of it. I just thought, okay, since we're not going to use that in this next project, let's at least talk about now, because I have no idea when the next time we're going to use it is. It sure. could be years from now, and I just want to let people know that it exists.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know it existed until we used it, mm-hmm. on our project. So that's what I thought today would be our project.
Okay.
Segment to talk about, so we can jump into that here. And this is something that we use, and I have some graphics here from both the fireplace that we used it on.
Okay.
And the front of the counter, mm-hmm. top of the kitchen that we used it on. We'll start with the fireplace, though, because that was where we initially used it. And like I said, if you're watching this show on YouTube, we have it there, by the way. If you're listening to it on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it may be, at junkinwithjenny.com, you can watch the video version of this show. So if you're listening to this on your commute and then want to see what we're talking about, go to junkinwithjenny.com. You can pull up the same episode, and you'll see us bantering and looking crazy, and also the stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So you can get a much better feel. And there's also, I put the graphics up there as well, so you don't always have to like re-watch the episode. You can just pull up the pictures that we're talking about as well. And what I have up here is the image of the fireplace and the whole mantle, yeah. kind of living room area that we had created. And what we ended up doing here, there was marble tiles that were up there that just really didn't quite fit it
right.
very well.
It was not Carrara marble that everybody wants.
No.
It wasn't even a pretty marble. It had strains of peachy pink through
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the previous homeowners of that house, mm-hmm. which they put that stuff everywhere,
yeah.
they must have gotten a really good deal. But I did not like it at all. And you can't make things adhere to marble because it's so slick.
Yeah.
So that had to come out.
It was odd the way it was set up. And I'm not saying that marble is bad by any means. And I was like, oh, marble's not good enough for us. I'm not. There's plenty of great marble out there.
Yeah.
It's just, I think they got this at like Lenny's bargain basement warehouse of throwaway marble. And they just put it on everything they possibly could to call it marble. So that's kind of what we were dealing with. And a lot of it wasn't even adhered correctly. It wasn't applied correctly. It was really a shit job. So what we did was we ripped that off very easily, surprisingly. And we thought, okay, well, let's give this a more homey look, a more earthy look. And, the Airstone was a new product at the time. So tell me about Airstone a little bit, and tell our audience about Airstone a little bit. And somebody who wants to put stone around a fireplace, mm-hmm. or anywhere really for that matter, who doesn't have experience with mortar, who doesn't have experience with putting bricks up,
uh-huh.
why this is an approachable product for almost anybody.
Okay. Well, first of all, what Airstone is, it is a cultured stone veneer, which is big and fancy terms for fake stone.
Okay.
Fronts that you can put on anything, well, not anything, but you can put up and it looks like there's real stone stacked there, but it's just basically slices of it that, mm-hmm. that are stuck up, very much like brick pavers. Everybody knows what brick pavers are.
Sure.
But it's the stone version of that. But Airstone was one of the first, I guess, available veneer type cultured stones that was made for the DIYer and not just the contractors building a house and putting it on an exterior of a mm-hmm. home, because that's been around for a long time.
It's basically faux stone, brickish looking product.
Yes. And what's great about it is because it is a veneer and it's a cultured product, it's full of air pockets. It's easy to cut without any kind of electric tool, and it doesn't weigh very much. So you can put it a lot of places where you don't need that, you know, where traditionally if you were going to use, you know, stone, you would need some support underneath because mm-hmm. of the sheer weight of what you're doing.
Yeah.
This was very much just goes right up. You could do a whole wall if you wanted, and it's not any heavier than tile.
Mm-hmm. It's very light. And as far as the ease of cutting it, even with just the funny thing that we did with this, we didn't have a whole lot of tools at the time.
No.
And we actually just cut it using a handsaw.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was a bit of a pain, but it worked.
But that's also how it was recommended to be cut.
Sure. But you could also use some sort of power tools as well with this to get it cut, I think, in a smooth manner. Yeah. That's what I would do today if we were to get it. But it really, I mean, it does cut through fairly easily compared to most of it. It's about as difficult as cutting through a board as any, mm-hmm. when you're talking about a what looks like a stone or a piece of brick.
Sure.
It cuts through like a 2x4, if not a bit easier, quite honestly.
Right.
So it's a very easy product to work with, a very easy product to cut through. You don't need a wet saw. You don't need any sort of special tools, really, just basic saw would work.
It's kind of like sawing through a pumice stone.
It is, very much so. And honestly, when you get it up and you look at it, you don't even realize, people will think this is a, you know, heavy, heavy stone.
Sure.
That's up there on whatever you're putting it on. I'm going to put an image up here now, and this is the other area that we had used it on, and we used it to line kind of the bar counter area, island-ish area. Of our kitchen. You can see that there right behind the chairs. We covered that area in the airstone as well. And it's not a super thick product either.
No, it's not. It's probably about 2 inches mm-hmm. thick.
And there's no mortar needed between these things?
No, this is what they call a stack stone. So mm-hmm. that's where you're putting stone upon stone with no gap in between for a grout or mortar type look. And they don't make one for a grout or mortar type look. Mm-hmm. Everything that Airstone makes right now is the stack stone look.
How did you affix it to the, like, what's the back? What's the affixing there?
There's a mix that it's a pre-mixed adhesive mm-hmm. that is specifically for Airstone.
Sure.
And you just trowel it on the back of the stone and push the stone into the wall.
Mm-hmm. And then it's up.
Yes. Now, they make some stones that have flat edges mm-hmm. on both sides. And those are great for when you're doing a long run of stones. Those are more your middle pieces. Then they have some that have more of a natural edge, which is kind of rugged, like you would see, you know, on the end of an actual stone where the wall's stopping or something like mm-hmm. that. And they also make corners, outside corners. So if you are rounding a corner of a fireplace or doing something, you know, where you need to make that 90-degree turn and you don't know how to butt those two natural edges together, mm-hmm. this takes care of it.
So you decided you had another product for the next fireplace we're going to work on.
Sure.
What would you use this product for again if you were to use it again?
I would use it for a fireplace. I would use it for an accent wall. Mm-hmm. Backsplashes are awesome done with this. And, you know, just it you can put it anywhere you can envision stone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it outdoors as well.
Really?
You can.
I didn't know that.
It's for interior or exterior. That was one of the options before we found the wine barrels for your bar. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about building a base and doing an Airstone base.
Sure.
So you could do it. It makes a really cool surround for a grill
mm-hmm.
for a small outdoor kitchen.
That would be an interesting thing to use.
Yeah.
Pull your microphone down just a little bit because it looks like you have a giant mustache.
Well,
right,
that's
now.
Awesome.
It's hiding my real mustache. It almost looks like my old mustache that I used to have that I just got rid of this week.
Okay.
A little bit more. A little bit. Just
no.
A little. Yes. Just there you go. There
okay.
you go. Now you look normal.
Thanks.
Okay. I know you tried to hide behind the microphone.
I love to hide behind the microphone. I do. The last thing I want to say about Airstone was with the fireplace, I really wanted the look of limestone. And Airstone comes in 3 different colors right now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the lightest color that they have, which is called birch bluff, I believe, or it's birch buff.
Okay.
They did not have that one, but they had some that had some darker stones. So I actually painted it. And guess what I used to paint it?
What?
Chalk paint.
And it worked.
Because chalk paint's flat.
Yeah.
And so is most stone. So it worked. It absorbed it really well. Only had to do one coat. And the color I used made it look like limestone.
Yeah.
So that's always an option too. If you're like, well, I don't like either of the colors. You know, another option is to mix the colors that they have available.
Mm-hmm.
But I would check it out.
And absorbs it quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not an advertisement for Airstone, I should say that, because Airstone is a product. It's a it's a specific brand named product right now.
Right.
I don't know if any product, maybe there is a generic, maybe there are other versions out there somewhere. I don't know. Is there?
Starting to be other versions of it, but this was, you know.
What we used.
Yeah, this was what we used.
So it's not an endorsement. They did not pay us to do this. We bought it ourselves. And that is it's just a product we used. So it's kind of review slash experience.
Right.
So just so everyone's aware, full disclosure, not a endorsement, not a review. Just, hey, we tried it. We liked it.
Right.
So there you go. All right. If you have anything, a space, a place, an object you want some advice on, some ideas on, that's what we're here for. That's what we do every single week here on this show with Duncan, with Jenny. You can submit your a picture of an object or an item or a space. That's really helpful at junkinwithjenny.com. Just go there. It's all set up. Just take a picture of the room, take a picture of the object, whatever. Just load it right up there for us. And then we can give you feedback on that item or space and some ideas on what it may be useful for. So check that out at junkinwithjenny.com. Always love your submissions, just like this one that we're about to talk about here. This is a fan that we see before and after on screen. And this is a letter that came in to us. Mackenzie says, I have a quick new idea for getting a quick change up look. So this is an idea here where they already had an idea.
Yeah.
They didn't even want to like get our advice on it. It's like, here's what I did.
And they're sharing.
And that's great. Mm-hmm. Share your ideas. Share your experiences and your expertise. And we'll be happy to share it here on the show. So this is the fan again. You can see the graphic if you're watching this. I have a quick new idea for getting a quick change up look. Ceiling fans with or without lights. Most beautiful fans cost a lot of money. After replacing my carpet and pad plus buying paint, I was low on cash. I hate the ceiling fan light. A person could flip the blade on the fan, as most have different colors on reverse sides. But while applying some contact paper on the closest shelf that I had been using on, I had a thought. Why not apply it to the blade of the fan? I had some extra scraps from the shelf. I had given the scraps a second purpose. With a sharp razor, I was able to skim the side of the fan blade, give it a sharp, clean edge. You can't even tell I did it. From dark to bright, this will make a room pop fast. Lots of styles and contact paper to choose from. For $10, I had enough for shelves and the blades with more scraps left over yet. Pictures linked with what I did. And you can see this on the screen. Kind of the old rustic fan to the more modern looking.
Right.
It looks like our wood. It looks like the
barn wood.
It looks like the plank. Yeah, the barn wood I have right behind me.
Uh-huh.
Right now, and I love that look.
I do too.
And what a cool idea! I had an idea kind of roughly for that for one of the fans.
Uh-huh.
Around here, we never did it. I ended up junking the fan, I think.
Was it your gold and white monstrosity that you had?
Well, there were so many things wrong with that fan. There wasn't a whole lot of salvaging it.
No.
We have like a now, and you can't see it here on camera, and I don't want to take your camera and move it.
Why not?
Well, it's just a pain in the ass to set it back up.
Oh.
But, I mean, right now we just a fairly modern silver fan over here. But it was a gold monstrosity with ornateness to it. But I was trying to think, well, the blades, what can we do with the blades to change the blades? And this really is a great example
it's
of how.
An awesome idea.
If the rest of your fan is not totally gaudy as hell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fans that can be changed up. There really is.
And if you have the patience, you can dismantle them to the point of being able to spray paint the metal.
Yeah. And that's what I was even thinking of doing. Mm-hmm. Of like, can I rust this thing out? Can I, you know, make it look this way or that way? And I think the one we had in here was just kind of beyond a whole lot of repair.
It was going to look like Liberace's fan no matter
what. No matter what. It was just going to be too bad. But there's a lot of fans that do have a lot of options with them. And that one was not one of them. But the one that they showed here really, truly did. And that's the fun part. People don't even really realize, I think, sometimes that the globes on the fans can be replaced.
Sure.
Go to the aisle in your Lowe's, in your Home Depot, in your Menards, in your whatever.
Uh-huh.
In your Fleet Farm. And look for the globe section and just make sure it lines up. Take one globe down, bring it in.
Yeah.
Make sure it fits. And you will be amazed by the amount of changes you can make just by the globes alone.
Right.
Do that. And then the bulbs, too. Mm-hmm. Think about the Edison bulbs. Think about all the different things you can do with this. You don't have to like just go to, oh, damn, the LEDs seem to be the main thing now. They make an LED version of Edison bulbs.
Uh-huh.
And I love the Edison bulbs. And it'll probably be out of date within 5 to 10 years. But I will still love them until I'm 80. And it'll be like, oh, that's the guy who likes the Edison bulbs.
Right.
Like, your dad loves those Edison bulbs, and be like, your grandpa loves those Edison bulbs. Your great grandpa loves those Edison bulbs. Your great 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 grandpa loves those Edison bulbs. And I'll be like in the corner going, I love Edison bulbs.
Okay.
So it's going to work.
Sounds good.
I'll just have a little lamp next to me with an Edison bulb. It's kind of funny why, you know, those are such an old looking thing, but they've become such an in thing.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of ways to make these things look however you want them to look.
You keep gazing up at your brand new ceiling fan.
I do. I'm just kind of, amazed by it. But I love the idea of the contact paper.
Yeah.
Contact paper is essentially what? Wallpaper?
No.
I mean, it's different. Modern wallpaper?
Yeah, you could use modern wallpaper for it. Mm-hmm. Modern, you know, removable wallpaper is going to cost more than $10 a roll. And
okay.
It's going to be a lot more than you're going to need for a fan project. Unless you have redone something in another room or whatever, and you wanted to use leftovers, it would work.
What would be the difference between the modern wallpaper like we've used on some previous projects, like behind some bookcases, uh-huh, and contact paper?
I don't honestly know that there's much of a difference.
This adhesive on the back?
I would imagine that contact paper, because you're supposed to use it for lining shelves.
Okay.
That maybe it's a little bit thicker, but I don't know.
Okay.
First thing I did when we moved in was I ripped out all the contact paper from the last owners because I was grossed out and they left it. And blah.
Well, that was wallpaper though, wasn't it?
No, it was contact paper.
What's the difference between wallpaper and contact paper?
Well, wallpaper goes up on a wall.
Okay. What do they have contact paper on?
Shelves, most of the time. You can use it on other things.
Where?
Huh?
Where was contact paper here?
In some of the cabinets and some of
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Within the cabinets.
Yeah, within the cabinets, not on the cabinets.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
And all their years of food crud and everything.
And it was contact paper that was like really never meant to be viewed, really, but people would put it up for whatever reason. But now a lot of contact paper is made for open spaces.
Sure.
So I love the idea of changing some of that up and kind of giving some new life to that fan.
Yeah.
Lots of ways to do that. So thank you for sharing your project with us. Next letter that we got in on today's episode is an old radio. And this is something that I've had my eye on for a while of doing something with. So I'm happy this letter came in. It says, this is the radio that sat in my grandmother's kitchen for years. My grandmother had one very similar to it as well. I remember her trying to find me on the radio on it. And she'd be like, I just can't find you on the radio.
Aww.
And she'd like have it like on AM.
Uh-huh.
I was on FM.
Uh-huh.
This is late 90s, but still.
But she grew up listening to AM.
I know. It's my grandma. For its age, it's in good shape. I, however, rarely listen to the radio at home and often play music on my phone. Any ideas on what I can do with this thing other than just have it take up counter space?
Bluetooth speaker house.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing that can be done now.
Yeah.
If you're not aware of this, there are very small Bluetooth speakers that can be bought very economically. Mm-hmm. There's everything from your Alexas, you know, like your Amazon products. I don't have the one that we have normally in here right now.
She's going to chime in.
Even in our new studio for our other show, for Real Ghost Stories Online. There's those. There's your Google Smart, whatever they're called. I don't know what the Google one is called.
Google Home.
So you could get one of those in there. There's a lot of things you could do within a speaker or a stereo like that. You have to gut it. So it's not going to function the way it once did, obviously, but it will be voice activated and yeah. It will hear you. It will get you. It'll hear you through the felt of the radio there. And I think it's a really cool idea for it. It's giving it new life. And if you're not sitting there wanting to dial your, you know, thing back and forth between AM and FM, just gut it. Take the back off. It's not hard to do. It's probably a couple screws. Gut the thing out of it. Put your new speaker in there. Plug it in. And you'll be amazed. It's just like, oh, this looks so awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's now a functional piece.
Yeah.
For your home. So I completely agree. I cannot think of any other use for it other than that.
No, I'm looking for one of the old cathedral looking ones, you know.
Oh, sure.
The kind of arched ones. I want one of those to do that exact same thing for my office.
We had one in a shed behind my parents' house. And they got rid of it, and I don't know why or when or whatnot, but it was really kind of neat. It was exactly what you were describing. And the cloth that would have been over the speakers was broken up. I mean, that could have been replaced, though. It would almost look like burlap.
Yeah,
almost.
I was going to say I would have used burlap.
Yeah, I mean, burlap was the closest thing I could say what it felt like, but it had been poked through, and it's probably more so mice that had eaten through it at some point. But gutting the thing, I so wish it was still around, because I remember it actually functioning. Uh-huh. I remember being out in the garage, if we were cleaning the garage or working on something in the garage, my mom would get an extension cord and plug it in, and it worked. And these things were just heavy as hell. It's gone to the heap of history. I don't know where it went. Hopefully I know they didn't throw it away, but so I hope whoever got it, I hope it's sitting in someone's house today.
Yeah.
And maybe functioning exactly the same way we're talking about.
Could be these
things functioning today. So there's some ideas for you on that, that old radio piece. And really this goes for any of those old radios that you find in the, antique stores. You can gut them and you can make them into a great Bluetooth speaker now. Okay. Next thing, this is an interesting one. And one you kind of gave me crap about earlier in the week when I, said, here's what we're talking about this week.
Like you found the most difficult thing possible.
I didn't try to.
And then you hit me with one later on in the show that I still don't know what to do with.
One later on in the show? What? Okay, you tell me what that is when we get to it.
Okay.
This is, my father loved his cars and his gas pumps. Unfortunately, he was the only one in this house who had such a passion for these items. He would often collect gas pumps and old gas pumps, regardless of the condition, from farms and they would see in the newspaper. Over the years, he ended up selling many of them to other collectors. However, this one still remains. My father, unfortunately, does not. Whenever I see it, it does make me smile and think of him. I just don't know what to do with it. Any ideas on what to do with this old gas pump? And this is a gas pump, if you're listening to us. It's reminiscent more so of, I'd say, 1982.
Yeah.
Than it is reminiscent of, like, 1962. It's right. Not the big, giant, tall piece. It's not the big one with the giant globe that had the gas in it. You could actually see the gas in it. This is an 82 gas pump from, like, a 76 station.
Sure.
Or Clark. Mm-hmm. Remember Clark?
No.
Do you have Clark stations?
Nope.
That's what it reminds me of. We had a big Clark station in town with the big Clark sign and the big circle around it and lights that would light up and glow. And I think this actually has a name on it. American Regular is what this one is. But that's what it's reminiscent of. If you went to a gas station in 85, this would be the modern gas pump of 85.
Okay.
So what do you do with something like this?
Didn't some of them light up?
No, not these. These, I mean, you could possibly on the top have some sort of a crown or piece, but by this point in time, a lot of the ornateness was gone. These were kind of the beginning of just very blah looking. Mm-hmm. This is like Urban Cowboy gas pump.
I remember them from when I was a kid, but
sure.
I just didn't know if, like, on this particular one, that red base, mm-hmm. if that had a light that would glow within it.
I don't believe it did. You'd have like a light on the outside of the area to light it up. This would be like the first type of gas pump I used though too.
Sure.
And this like was the end of the old era into the new era. With the revolving digits, nothing digital about this thing. Okay. What would you do with it? Any ideas?
I would try and light it up and just have it as a neat piece that lights up. My other thought, and of course I say this on everything, would be to gut it and use the square part where the, you know, the digits flip over as some sort of a stand. You could even put a small TV in there.
Like yes, you. That's a neat idea.
Like
you,
a small LED TV, LCD or whatever.
You know, you're right. This is that's an interesting thought on this because it is a widescreen base, which it would be a little bit off because it does kind of narrow itself down a little bit. But you could probably get something like that in there. That's a really neat idea for a man cave of this is the TV stand.
Yeah.
It's an old gas pump that it holds the TV. I like that.
Cool.
That's something I have not heard yet.
Okay.
That's very, and see, you were like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to talk about with this one. You had a great idea.
Thank you.
It's a great idea for that. Some ideas that I had and that I've heard online over the past couple of days. The idea I had on it would be something to do with liquor.
Sure.
It's listen to the liquor. And Jim Leahy is the influence for this.
Rest in peace, Jim Leahy.
Rest in peace, Jim Leahy. Trailer Park Boys, show on Netflix, by the way, just to fill everybody what we're talking about.
So I think like, two people got
like,
that.
What are they talking about?
Yeah.
Very, very funny show. Very funny character. He passed away this week, and that was kind of his thing, was listen to the liquor. It was a satire on that life, but it was a funny show. Anyway, what I would do with this thing is if you're doing the man cave idea, make it like a kegerator type thing.
Sure.
And depending on how in-depth you want to get on it, because it does get pretty in-depth if you're going to get a keg and to refrigerate it and make it into a kegerator. That can get pricey. It's essentially creating a refrigeration unit. Mm-hmm. I could see something like this where you kind of gut the inside of it and you can get some of those smaller kegs in there, like retail kegs, like the... I'm trying to think of the brands that sell small, because I never even buy them, but I know like some smaller brands do smell like quarter, like not even quarter, like 1/8 kegs, if you will. Heineken sells a very small keg. And some other brands do too, where you could get that in there and then get the spout out of it and put a couple of those in there. Almost like a wine. It's almost like a wine bottle type deal. You could do it with wine bottles too. You can make this a wine bottle fridge and gut the top.
Could you get a brand new replacement gas thing and somehow hook it up to where the alcohol comes off?
And that's the thought I really have, and that's kind of like what I'm getting at.
Sorry,
is
I'll shut up now.
No. That would be the very difficult thing to do.
Right?
Could it be done? Yes. It would take some engineering license and some engineering knowledge to do that, though.
Yeah.
But if you could do that, yes, I think that'd be a really kind of a neat thing. I mean, it would be a very difficult thing to have a regular, you know, gas spouted coming out of. So you probably need to rig something up where it comes out at a much, you know, smaller pace, almost like a soda gun.
Well, what if you made a soda gun, but then housed it in something that looked like a gas
pump? I think that'd be kind of a neat idea. I think you could get that sort of thing rigged up where the soda gun even almost attaches to the gas pump, and you just kind of push it and it looks like it's coming out of the gas pump, and there's your soda, and maybe your bar and your liquor is stored in the bottom of it. There's a lot of ways to do a bar out of something like this in a very creative way. It takes a little bit of work. It's a lot of metal work, a lot of cutting the metal. It's not super easy to do, but could be done.
Sure.
So I think there's a lot of neat ideas there. Some other ideas that I heard were birdhouse.
Okay.
Out of this, kind of pull the digits out, so there's some openings within this thing, and create an opening and then kind of gut it out and create a place where the birds could live. They could go in and out of this thing. Hen house, which is an interesting one. Okay. I suppose if you took the side out, you could probably get something like that done. So lots of interesting concepts on the gas pump. More than I even thought of when I got this one in the mail. I'm like, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. But, 'cause I was just thinking immediately man cave type type of applications for it. So any other ideas on
That's
this?
That's all I got on that.
Okay. Our next item, since we are very close to Halloween, and I thought this would be a fun one to talk about since we did get it in. Here's a letter. I had a privilege of growing up in a funeral home family. That's right. We lived in above a funeral home that my family ran. Several years back, the business was shut down because no one wanted to continue on the legacy. That left many of us kids with various pieces of the funeral home, ended up with a casket kneeler. This is the object that sits in front of the casket when people pay their last respects. It's very ornate and an old piece, but obviously does not necessarily fit in one's living room as is. Any ideas on what I could do with this, or is it just a relic that needs to go away?
I would make a bench out of it, meaning I would use the ornate part as the back of the bench.
Okay.
And add a seat to the front. And I would make like a bench that has a back and do that. I also immediately thought of a twin size headboard, but that was a little much like, I don't know. I kind of thought maybe that would be like the Exorcist girl's headboard or something.
Here you go, little one. I love you so much. Here's this new headboard.
I just from knowing things from the other show, I wouldn't do that.
You wanted the My Little Pony headboard. We gave you the one that was in front of caskets for the last 30 years.
Parent of the year.
Be a fun one for show and tell.
I would think do that. I mean, the other thing would be to just take it apart and hang the ornate part on the wall, you know, since it has special meaning.
Sure. There's a lot of things I think you could do with something like this. It's a very interesting piece. Beyond creating an altar for something in your home. I would go with probably back to the bar idea.
Okay.
I do. Because it's a neat piece. And I don't really see a whole lot of other uses for it that are super practical or that are going to be super comfortable, if you will. I would go with either you can make this the beginning of a bar top. I would take, you know, because you have the kneeler piece and then you put your arms up on the top and they're both cushioned. So I would probably have to, you know, take the kneeler piece off and then just kind of use this main base piece here for like the front of the bar and then build around it. And literally build a bar around it, depending how big you want it to go. That could be kind of the center of it. Or it could be an interesting bar back as well, where this is just kind of sitting there on top where you have the where you put your arms or rest your elbows. You put a piece of wood there. You could rest bottles on it. There's a lot of things that could be done that way. Quite personally, after doing our ghost show for the last, 4 years, 5 years? How long have we been doing the thing?
Four.
I'd be very hesitant on putting this thing in my house, period.
Yeah.
There's so much emotion attached with something like this.
Sure.
It's sitting in front of a casket and people are saying their last goodbyes to their loved one. I would be very, very, very hesitant on using it in my home. If you don't subscribe to that thinking, you don't believe in ghosts, you don't believe in anything of that nature, okay, use it however you want. But me personally, I would just think that this thing, not that the dead are like, ooh, I'm going to hold on to this thing while I'm in my casket. I just think the emotional charge on this thing is high.
Yeah, yeah.
As high as you can get.
But if you don't believe in that,
yeah,
it's an awesome front of a kitchen island.
Too. Exactly.
So there you go.
So someone, if you don't want it, sell it. Someone will take it. It is an extremely rare and unique piece. And I love that. I just personally don't know how I would ever use this thing.
No.
It's kind of scary. Thank you for sharing that one with us. Okay, this next one, it's one I can kind of relate to because my mom was in this situation just recently and she found a use for hers. Kind of. This is a stove. This is an antique stove. Oh, I got to pull it up here on full screen. There we go. We've had this antique stove in our family for several years now. I don't really know what to do with this thing or who originally it belonged to, but it's a neat piece. It doesn't function, but it does take up space in quite a big way, and it's quite heavy. I'm looking to give it new life in some way, but have no idea what to do. Any ideas?
What are your ideas on it?
The ideas that I've had on this thing and that I've seen online with a piece like this are using it as outdoor furniture, using it as basically a garden.
Okay.
You can open up some drawers, not all of them because you need to obviously have them exposed. But if you open up in a certain way, you can get some pots in there. And on top where the burners are, you can carve some spaces out to put some pots and planters and really make it a neat outdoor kind of garden space, you know, almost like how you'd have a hanging garden or a wall garden. This is kind of a way to do that in a very unique way.
Sure.
That's, I think, what I would do with something like this, because it is an odd piece. We had one of these things in our dining room growing up from the ages of probably 4 to, you know, I don't know when I left. I don't know how long it was in there for. Probably till I was in my mid-20s, or probably 30s, honestly. I think she just recently got rid of it. And she used it basically to store placemats.
Okay.
It's what it was. It was a very old, I forgot what the brand was. It might have been KitchenAid.
Might have been.
Like original KitchenAid. And she had received or bought it from a old estate sale. And it was a very neat old oven, did not work, but just a very neat piece. Mm-hmm. And it was in really good condition, but heavy as hell. Mm-hmm. And what do you do with one of these things once you want to get it out of your space? You don't want to just throw something like that away either, because right. It's a neat piece of history and not a lot of them exist. So that's, I think, one of the neater things I've seen done with a piece like this, other than just storage. If you're cool with how it looks, it can be a very easily used for storage.
Sure.
If you're happy with it as is, but if you're not quite, doesn't quite fit in your decor outdoors, this could be a neat piece.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I really didn't have anything on this one. I came up with something for the gas pump and something for the kneeling bench, but not the old stove. And I was even thinking about that back when your mom was getting rid of hers, because I thought that is so neat. But for one, to haul it from up there down here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be feasible, but I was not sure what I would do with it.
That's the thing. It's like, once you have it, what do you do with it? Because yeah. I always said to her, Mom, someday I want this stove. Mm-hmm. And then the day came. Okay, son, you can have the stove.
Right.
I'm like, great. I have no idea how I'm going to get it here. And I have no idea what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what I would do with it, honestly. And it's, other than something like this, and I don't even quite know how that would fit into a lot of the things that we do. They're such neat pieces, but unless you have the home and the decor for it, it really does fit a certain setting.
Now, I will say, with the popular, you know, style right now of everybody likes farmhouse, a lot of antique malls and a lot of, you know, crafting malls, if you will, that are featuring some of those things,
sure,
would love something like that just to use as a display,
yeah,
to put things on.
Yeah.
So there's a market for it as is.
Yeah, just to sell it and to get some money out of it and not waste it. I would never, ever throw something like this away. At the very least, you put it on Craigslist, someone will buy something like this very easily. It's a difficult piece unless that's the decor you already have in your home and that's what you're going for. It's hard to make something like this transition or fit into almost anything unless that is the existing style.
Yeah.
So, thank you for the post and the question. I hope that helped a little bit. It's a difficult one to do. It really, really, truly is. But you do have a very unique piece there. Okay, this next one came in, and we had some arguments about what it actually is. Is this a planter? What is it? It says, I recently came across an old planter box. At least that's what I think it is, in the back of my grandfather's shed. It's been sitting there for God knows how long. Is there a chance that it's worth salvaging and turning into something? And the picture is up on the website. I think it looks like a planter. I think it looks like something you'd put out maybe in your backyard, grow some strawberries in, grow whatever in.
Are there any dimensions on it? That's what I couldn't get a real good gauge on.
It's difficult to say. I'd say it's probably maybe 5 by 3.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Feet.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, roughly it looks like it's really supported well on the edges with the bracing, big, thick metal bracing, and it's elevated a bit off the ground. So I'm going to take their word at it that it was a planter of some sort. And the fact that the bottom is kind of roached out, like probably mold that got it. So you probably would need to replace the bottom with something, you know, some new fresh boards. But the edges look like almost railroad ties, or not. They're thinner. They're much thinner. But that sort of wood, very thick wood of that era. It's beautiful. I think there's a lot of ways you could really make this and reclaim a lot of it and make it look really nice without having to strictly replace the wood on it.
I would put a big piece of glass over it, and it would be my coffee table in a heartbeat.
What'd you put in the middle of it, though?
Nothing.
Nothing? Just leave? Would you leave the roached out pieces in there?
Yeah.
So when you have the roached out pieces in there as is right now, is there a way to stop them from roaching? Can you seal it as is? Like, okay, right now, obviously, you know, I probably do need to dry it out a bit. If it's wet, if it's been sitting in a and it's still actively molding.
Well, and that's the thing. It depends on what is quote unquote roaching it out.
Yeah.
If it's termites, don't bring it in the house.
Well, sure, but let's say it's just moisture. Get it dried. So it stops actively roaching itself out. Once it's at that state, it still looks pretty roached. Probably not something you could actually set something in without it falling directly through the boards. But assuming you're not going to set something in it and you want to keep that look of being roached out, is there a product or a spray or a paint, or not necessarily paint, but something you could brush on it to essentially encase this look and keep it where it's at so it doesn't go any further, but also almost kind of celebrates its roached outness?
Well, if you're going to continue to use it outside where it is exposed to the elements, you're going to want to spray it with some sort of sealer. And it depends on if you want, you know, a clear finish or not, what type of sealer you use. And basically, you find that on the spray paint aisle. But if you're going to bring it inside, let it sit and, you know, out of the elements and somewhere where it can dry out before you bring it into your home.
Wouldn't you still want to seal it though inside your home, just to, if you're like me, mold allergies, it's still going to have mold on it, even when it's dried out. Wouldn't you still want to seal it some way?
You could, sure.
What would you use?
I would use there's like different Rust-Oleum clear protective enamels that you can use, and you can get it in any finish. You can get it in flat to where you don't even see it.
Sure.
But it seals it.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And you could use, you know, a spray like that on it if you left it outdoors and used it, say, as a patio coffee table.
Okay.
But if you brought it inside, you know, have it dry out as much as possible, and then you can spray it really good, and that way it's protected.
If I saw this thing in an antique store, I'd buy it in a second.
I would too.
I love it.
I do too.
I love this thing. Really neat piece. So there's some ideas on what to do with it. I would totally go with the coffee table idea. Yeah. I would probably use it on a porch.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think it has that feel to it. It's just a beautiful piece. So thank you for sharing that one with us. Greatly appreciate you sending that in. If you have an item, a space, a place you want some advice on what to do with it, well, junkinwithjenny.com.
That's what we do.
All you have to do is send it to us. We may use it on a future episode of the show and give you some insight. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. I pressed the wrong button.
That's great.
It was like real ghost stories. Anyway, there we go. Here's the right button.
Okay.
So that wraps up today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Thank you so much for sending in your images, your questions. Greatly appreciate it. Send them in junkinwithjenny.com, and we'd love to talk about it as we get here into the holiday season. So
yeah,
holiday ideas, holiday questions, digging stuff up, send it into us.
That would be good.
Love to talk about it here on the program. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, who is, I'm going to try that way. There we go.
Yeah.
She's that way. If I reverse pictures, it'd make more sense. But
okay.
There we go. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching another episode of Junkin' with Jenny.